This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Everybody, Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and another edition of the Outdoorsman Radio Show right here on the last final Saturday, ending Saturday of the month of October. First day of wild turkey season in western Maryland, Garrett, Allegheny, and parts of Washington County. And you will be joining us this morning, and hopefully you'll call in because we are giving a muzzleloader away today. CVA is sending one lucky listener a muzzle-loading rifle after today sometime. Once we pick a winner, and how you get in that contest is very simple. You simply call the show, and that number is 410-922-6680, WCBM 680, or 800-922-6680. That is also 800-WCBM 680. You call the show. You give our producer, Brian Farlow, the your name and your phone number, and then you go on the air with me, and you can just simply say, hey, just want to get in the contest, hi, you know, love your show, couldn't live without it, or get off the air, you clown. Either one, doesn't matter to me. So, well, you know, we'll accept anything just as long as you go on the air, and no cursing, of course, we don't put up with that, so... And you get disqualified. You do. You get disqualified from that. So that's how you get in the muzzleloader contest. So we'll just leave it there, and that the directions were pretty simple. So, been an interesting week. Last Saturday, we after the show, I did a little work, and then I went hunting with my grandson, Jacob. And we sat in a tree stand for several hours on Saturday afternoon, and... I think I don't remember if I had a nap or not, but it was an uneventful day. It was a pretty day, but no deer were moving. That's for sure. We tried a couple things and just could not get any deer in the area. So and the other folks on the properties never saw anything either. So that was a bust. But it was, you know, we were out there. You can't take any game if you're not in the game. So that was Saturday afternoon. Sunday, Saturday night into Sunday was a mad rush to get my hunting clothing ready to go. You know, didn't know how long I would be in Western Maryland, but I had to dress for get taken off hunting clothes for 4 days. And all types of weather, whether it was rain or shine or cold or warm or whatever it might be. So you have to take a lot more stuff to cover your bases on that. So I left 9 o'clock in the morning or so Sunday, get up there about noontime. And my host was very gracious. He said other fellows are supposed to show up here about 1 o'clock. And we'll have a little get together. What would you like to do? I said, you tell me. He said, well, why don't you take the Polaris ATV and get yourself familiar with driving the Polaris again? And that was no issue. He gave me little tips on starting it and keeping it running and all that type of thing. And it was, you know, very, very easy to do. And he said, take a ride around, get familiar with the place again. It's been 5 years. And I said, sounds good. So that's what I did. There's 2 miles of, 2 miles of trails on this farm that I hunted, and, they're very well marked, and I remembered where most of the stands were, and, I found the ones I was looking for, found the one I wanted to sit in on Monday morning, and, figured out how to get in there, and so that's what I did for the next hour or so. I rode around the farm and, you know, again, got familiarized with all the trails and that type of thing. And it was a good time. Came back, and the other fellows showed up, and we had a nice lunch, and we talked. It wound up, there were four of us that stayed there, and two of them that lived elsewhere that came back and forth each day. Not far. I mean, lived in the county, not far. And my sub-permittee was one of those fellows, who, actually the farm manager, who was my sub-permittee, and we had a chat and found out about what kind of bears the guys were seeing. We were on a bear hunt is what we were doing. I was picked for the Maryland bear hunt. So anyway, Monday comes, and it's cold, and it's very cold. It's 30-some degrees, 33, I think was what it was when we got up, maybe a little less than that. Frost on the ground in some places, and took the ATV, and we left it kind of between our two stands. So two of us took one ATV, and he went to his stand, and I went to mine, and got in, and so that was Monday morning. We all sat and, you know, watched for wildlife, and I think everybody saw deer, and a couple of fellows saw turkeys, and it was quite a refreshing morning. No bears wandered by, but, you know, I was in a great spot. I was in a wonderful spot to see a bear. Later on in the afternoon, of course, we went back for lunch and had a nice lunch and went back out again. And I switched stands because my host and I had driven around on Sunday. I forgot that part. And he showed me a couple stands, and he showed me one that was, this is a box stand. This is a shooting house. This is not, now this was, the first stand was a ladder stand, and that was fine. The second stand was a nice box stand. It was built, you know, to withstand the elements. And first thing I noticed when we walked up to the stand were bear paw prints on the door, muddy bear paw prints. And there were several places where the bear had chewed on the side of the little shooting house there, one in the front, one in the back. And talking to my host, he said, yeah, we often see bears here. So this was overlooking a big, long field. The field, an extended U-shaped field. On one end, you know, it went down to the woods, and it was from my level down to the woods was probably 250 yards. On the other end, it did the same thing, but in the middle, it kind of jammed up to about 100 yards to the woods. And, you know, it's just big, long field, and had a lot of agriculture crops on it that had been harvested. And, you know, so, I mean, there was strips of soybean and strips of corn and strips of, you know, just grass and that type of thing. It was a very nice place. So I'm sitting there in the evening, and the deer started coming out. I saw a couple deer below me on the right, and I saw more deer on my right, and I saw a couple deer on my left. And overall, it was eight or nine deer there altogether. And so as the evening wore on, the deer just back and forth in front of me. They were as close as 60 yards and just ignored me, and I watched them and had an enjoyable day. Now, in this shooting house, there's a shelf, and you could put your rest right there on the shelf, and had sliding windows, so I could slide the windows up and down and control the wind. If, you know, if the wind's coming one way, you leave that window down, and, you know, anyway, I had the window directly in front of me. My seat was up, and all the side windows were closed, so I'm watching these deer, and it's getting later and later, and bang, a shot went off. And it was my host. And, you know, we, of course, communicate with cell phones and that type of thing. But I'd learned ahead of that that there was a bear moving, you know, in the area, and wandered in front of a couple fellows, and they let it go, we don't know if it was that bear that came back or that bear moved on and another bear came by, but my host shot his bear. And so, you know, it's back and forth who shot and all that. Excuse me, I was, it calmed down a little bit. I was watching these deer, and I looked over to my left, and there stood a black bear on the crest of a field. It was a kind of a ridge went through this field, and he was right on the crest of it. Now, this bear was 200 yards, and my firearm was right there. I just put the firearm on the rest, got in the scope, and squeezed the trigger, and it was all over. And I mean, it was very, very quick, within seconds. I would say with the time I sighted that bear till the time I shot was, I would guess, under 10 seconds. Just a guess. It just seems like, and it, you know, reeling it over in my mind, it didn't slow down, and it doesn't, you know, I can't put a time stamp on it and that type of thing. It was very, very quick. And in my mind's eye, that bear had just started to move, just started to break over the crest of that hill when I shot. And when I shot, I could hear I heard the shot and then the impact, and I believe the bear rolled, but I'm not sure, because it just looked like that's what happened, but maybe it was wishful thinking. The next time I saw the bear, he was at the base of the field, the bottom of the field, running full speed and into the woods, into the brush, I guess you could call it. I said, okay, well, that was interesting. So, you know, text back and forth, and my ATV had the little dump bed on it. I was asked to come down to load my host bear, and I got down there, and there were three of the fellas there, including the host who shot it, and the bear was already dressed out and tossed it on my little ATV in the bed, and we drove up to the site where I shot my bear, shot at my bear. Didn't know yet. So we get up there, and, of course, it's full dark now, so out come the flashlights, and we ride along the crest of that hill and stop and get out, and, you know, we're looking for any sign that bear was hit. And I said, well, I know for sure the last place he was down here at this entry point at the woods. So we drove down there and walked back and forth, and two of the fellas had flashlights, and, well, we all had flashlights, and back and forth they looked, back and forth they walked, and I said, look, I got a little better light than you guys. Let me look down there, and I discovered some blood sign that the bear had indeed been hit and had gone into the woods. So I was encouraged and not at the same time. You know, if the bear had been hit, and it hit well, why didn't it pass on the spot? And so I don't know. So we had a discussion, and it was decided that if the bear was only wounded and we walked in after it and pushed it, that it would run, and we may or may not find it. It might even run to West Virginia. Who knows, depending on the injury. Or if we were to back out and let it go, it might possibly lay down, or it might be expired, you know, not that far inside the woods. So we had a discussion about it when we were eating dinner that night, and one of the fellows, and I won't forget this, and I'm grateful to him, he said, I'll pray that you find your bear. Well, now let's bring this element into this, and then we'll take a break after this little bit of a discussion. My belief is, as I get older, that when we are hunters and we are hunting, and, you know, even though we've done our due diligence, even though we've gotten in the right spot, and even though we've, you know, blown our game calls and put our scent trails out and stayed scent free and done everything that we can do to get, you know, maybe we've got trail cameras up, maybe we know the patterns of the game, but in the end, I do truly believe that God delivers the animals into our hand. I believe that, you know, and that's how I pray when I'm in the stand. Even with Jacob, even with Laura, we hold hands and we say a prayer for safety, and we say a prayer for the animals' welfare. That, you know, if a deer should come by, you know, let us see the game before the game sees us. And if we, you know, have the opportunity to take a shot, then let our aim be true, and let us make a quick, clean kill and recover the animal. Don't let any animals get away that are wounded. And that's our prayer. I mean, and I think that's a prayer for everybody in some way or shape or form. I think that as hunters, ethical hunters, that should be our our prayer, whether it's a goose, a duck, or whatever it might be, you know. So you don't want to see a wounded animal run away, walk away, or swim away, and or fly away. We certainly don't want to see that. So anyway, when he said he would pray for me, I thought that, or pray for, you know, the recovery of my bear, I thought that was special. So next morning we get up, we go on stand. I didn't want to deny anybody opportunity to go on stand, and we hunted for about an hour and a half, and three of us got together at the field where the I'd marked the spot with my hat. Forgot that part that night before, and I sat in my stand and watched that hat the whole time, of course, and we got to the spot. We walked in. We found blood further into the woods a little bit, maybe 10, 15 yards, and the fellow that was with me said, "Do you have any marking tape so we can mark the trail as we go?" And I said, "Sure." I walked out to the ATV where my pack was, and I got my orange marking tape out of my pack, and before I could turn around, I got your bear. Bear had only gone 40 yards, so we had a nice bear. The bear was beautiful, about 140-pound female, a beautiful coat. We got the bear out. We got the bear field dressed and put the bear on the back of the ATV, and off we went to the check station. So we, you know, both bears had been shot the night before. It was too late when we got back because we looked for my bear to go to the check station. We called them and told them we had at least one bear, and they said it was fine. So we put both bears in my truck and headed to the check station. So that's my story. Came home Tuesday evening, took the bear, my bear, to the taxidermist. He skinned it, quartered it for me, and I took the meat to the processor, and we're going to have some bear bologna done. So we'll let you know how that all turns out. Now, you're all listening to me, and nobody's calling here. It's you know, the last day of the early muzzleloader season for does. If you're going doe hunting this morning, you can certainly call. Or if you're headed anywhere to the field or out in the woods or out in the on the bay, you can give us a call here at 410-922-6680. And we would love to talk to you. So since I took that bear with at 200 yards with an A-bolt shotgun, A-bolt high-powered rifle from Browning, I'm going to talk about Browning. And I'm going to talk about Clyde Sports Shop, where I bought that gun. There is an A-bolt 3 deal available right now, high-powered rifle, all the popular calibers, 270, 30-06, 308, 7mm mag, 300 Win mag, and others. That is a package deal. It is a synthetic stock. It is an A-bolt 3 rifle with a 3-9 Redfield scope, which is pretty good, and it comes with a hard case. And right now, it's the best deal on a high-powered rifle that you can find anywhere, and that's at Clyde Sports Shop, the AB3, the A-bolt 3, in all the popular high-powered calibers. Now, you can take a look at that. Now, there's also the X-Bolt. The X-Bolt is the next generation after the A-Bolt, the A-Bolt 2, the A-Bolt 3, and the X-Bolt. It is an extremely accurate bolt-action, big-game hunting perfection rifle. And I got to tell you, that A-Bolt is an accurate gun. I like the fact that, you know, it has a detachable rotary magazine. That's the X-Bolt. Mine has a detachable stackable magazine. You pop the floor plate down, you take the magazine off, you put it in your pocket, and you know everything's safe. And then when you go back out in the stand later in the day, when you finally get in the stand, you pop that magazine in there, and you can load your rifle. But the X-Bolt, available in all standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers, it's got an adjustable feather trigger, and it is a very nice high-powered rifle. And, of course, I'm running out of time here. Just let me tell you about one more of those firearms, and that's the BPS pump shotgun. If you like a pump action shotgun, the BPS comes in 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and even 10-gauge models. Everything you need for every application. There's even a 12-gauge and a 20-gauge rifled barrel deer model available from Browning. That's all the Browning firearms. Every one of them is available at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 242-6108. Clyde Sports is the website. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Line-X and Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Line-X spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Line-X spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Line-X premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Line-X Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Line-X and Bay Line-X now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Line-X bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Line-X, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Line-X of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Hey, the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You know what? 2016 Fishing Challenge is happening right now. It's a free year-round tournament hosted by the Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for everyone who fishes recreationally in Maryland. Eligible fish include all game fish from the Atlantic Ocean to the Chesapeake and all the way out to the West Mountains where I was, out of Deep Creek Lake, that's for sure. 67 species of fish in five categories, freshwater, Chesapeake Bay, Atlantic Coast, catch and release, and even invasive species. There's also a youth division connected to the free online Maryland Fishing Club. You catch a fish of a notable specified size, and you get your official angler award certificate. At that time, you get an invitation to the grand finale in September, where you could win many great prizes. This year, we gave away a Tracker Marine boat package, gave away a Costa gear, tackle packages from Bass Pro Shop, Bill's Outdoor Center, and even lots of cash, almost $25,000. Hey, the fish are biting right now in Deep Creek Lake. I know that for a fact. And the Potomac River and the Eastern Shore Ponds and the Bright Western Trout Streams and the Chesapeake Bay and even off coast of Atlantic City. It's not the time to stay indoors. Go fish. Official rules online at dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Deer hunters, the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns this season. By donating your female deer, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. And you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through any FHFH deer processor and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.
Hi, Baltimore. This is Mark Levin, and now you can hear 3 hours of my show every weeknight at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I was working in the lab late one night. My eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on.
What is the monster mash?
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
I don't know, but I want to talk to Chuck again. Hey, Chuck, how are you, buddy? Hello, Chuck.
Good morning.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So, that was a nice picture.
Oh, thank you. Yes, indeed. The fellow that helped me find the bear, that found the bear, so to speak, snapped a couple pictures, and that one turned out pretty good, that's for sure. So,
well, I texted you yesterday while I was in my stand.
Yes, you did.
Blind.
Yes.
I was covered with deer from 3:30 till 6:30.
Huh. And?
Couldn't get a shot. Well, considering the storm we had earlier in the week, a tree blew down and blocked one of my shooting lanes.
Oh, well, now, see, that's no good.
No, not with a bow.
No, of course not.
No, if I had my muzzleloader, I could have had all kinds of venison.
Sure.
But I wouldn't have been excited about the last deer that was in with a big old buck.
Of course, and with the muzzleloader, you couldn't have shot that buck.
Couldn't have shot him.
And right.
It turned out I couldn't shoot him with a crossbow either because of the branches and stuff that were in the way. So
was he? He's the one you were looking for, huh?
Yeah, the last one of the day. Yes.
And that the way it always works?
Oh yeah, yeah. So this morning I'm not hunting. I'm going running up to Emmitsburg, and the property owner and I are going to clean up the one lane. So that I can get a shot next time.
That's probably a real good idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, we just started putting out apples last weekend.
Yeah.
They're hitting that apple pile. Every deer that came into me last night and yesterday afternoon, we're hitting the apple pile.
Wow.
And the only ones that went over to my feeder were two button bucks.
Well, they haven't learned yet that apples taste better than corn.
Oh, man. So it's funny watching some of the deer chew on the apples, or they bring their head up. And there's a big old apple in their mouth that are trying to chew it to swallow it.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's pretty funny.
That's pretty funny. But now I hope that the next time I go up there to hunt with a clean lane, that they'll get me in the apples just as much.
Oh, I hope you're right. So. Hope you're right.
But wanted to give you a quick call this morning. And
thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. When you look back at it, the gun was sighted in for 200 yards. I knew what the gun could do. I had no doubt what that gun could do, and sighted it. About maybe half inch high, an inch high at 200 yards. So I knew what was going to happen. This bear was just about precisely 200 yards. There were a couple deer in the field the next morning, and I ranged them just to see where they were. And, when that bear was there, and I knew that bear was not going to stay there long, my earlier prayer, encounter prayer was, if I get a shot, please guide my bullet. And, and if God would have guided my bullet into the ground and I wouldn't have touched that bear, then I would have been just as happy with that. Because, when you say to God, please do this, and he does what he wants to do, and if that bullet would have sailed high or low, I would have been just as happy, because I'd have been disappointed myself, but that's not what was supposed to happen. But the bullet struck that bear on the right side, and then that bear, that was just a final run. There was nothing left of that bear when it hit the woods. So it's just momentum,
If he had meant for you to miss, it was only because there was going to be a bigger one.
A bigger bear, yes, exactly. Right. Yes, exactly right. So.
Well, I'll let you go, and I'll talk to you later when you pull my name.
Oh, thanks, Chuck. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, goodbye, buddy.
See you. Bye. There he goes, Chuck in Hampstead. Good man. Hey, October 27th was Teddy Roosevelt's birthday. He was born in October 27th, 1858. And I'm reading an article, a letter, a note, whatever you want to call it, written by a fellow by the name of Brian Yablonsky. Now, Brian is the chairman of the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. So I don't know if that's like our Wildlife Advisory Committee or not, but it sounds like it might be. He says, this past week was Theodore Roosevelt's 157th birthday, and never has a former president looked so good. The occasion serves as a great reminder of what he stood for and what we can still do to honor his conservation legacy today. A naturalist with a deep love for America's natural beauty and resources, T.R. embraced conservation ideals throughout his administration. He protected 230 million acres of land and created 150 national forests, the first 51 federal bird reservations, 5 national parks, and the first 4 national game preserves. The very first national wildlife refuge he established, Pelican Island, is in Vero Beach. Theodore Roosevelt was also a hunter, and it is his legacy as a sportsman naturalist that serves as the best example of one of the great and often misunderstood paradoxes of wildlife conservation. Those with a passion for the hunt also have a passion to protect. And we'll go on after we talk to Rich in Westminster. Good morning, Rich. How you doing?
Good morning, Al. Congratulations on your bear.
Oh, thank you, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just heading out to my stand here. If I'm on the road, I've got 9 mile drive to my spot.
Sure.
But just wanted to call and say hi and congratulate you on your bear.
Well, thank you.
I've been out a few times with the muzzleloader. I haven't been kind of slow, to tell you the truth.
It was a tough season, that early muzzleloader season. It killed some great deer, though. I mean, across the state, it depends on where you were. And some of the bucks pictures I'm seeing, these deer are ready to go. These deer are neck are swollen. I mean, they're working scrapes and rubs, and they're just going at it. But not everywhere.
During the 3 day thing, I was only out at I got out 3 hunts. I think I hunted a morning and an evening and another morning or
right.
something like that. But I tried rattling, you know, usually I have success doing that, but I didn't bring anything in doing that.
Yeah.
In fact, I scared away a couple of does doing that.
Yeah.
But the other evening I had a young one, I did a pop-up blind that particular evening, and I had a young one about 20, 30 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not interested. I'm waiting for a mature doe.
Sure.
You know, so.
Sure.
I just watched that thing. So I practically had to shoo it out of the area when I was getting ready to get out. it's something I know you experience it too. I don't like to shoot at the very last speck of light. Because you need
to
find that first spot of blood. You need enough light left to find that first spot of blood. So I usually wrap it up about maybe 5-10 minutes sooner than most people. So I even did that. And I don't like to walk out of the woods at that time either because I know there's still people out there.
Right.
Trigger half. I mean, Al, and it was pitch black. And I hear a boom, and I'm thinking, are you even kidding me?
Yeah, I know.
People shooting at.
I know. I get it.
It frustrates the hell out of me.
It does. It does. You're absolutely right. Well, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but if you're in the woods, if your stand is in the woods or your pop-up blind was in the woods, that leaf canopy is brutal still.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm wondering when we're going to have a actual leaf drop, you know? And
yeah.
That's probably a problem that hinders me. The guys that have, seats on the edge of the field, they have probably 10 more minutes of light than we do. I mean, of legal shooting time. I'm not talking about, taking a shot after dark. I'm talking about legal shooting time. And,
right.
You get to the end of that twilight, that half hour, twilight that's, that 30 minutes, after sunset. If you're out on the open, you've got full advantage. But if you are sitting in the woods with that leaf canopy over top, and that sun goes down, like I said, it takes 10 to 15 minutes off your time to be able to hunt because you just can't see anymore. You can't see your crosshairs.
Oh, yeah.
You can't see the pins on your bow.
There's a deer right there. That particular evening, my blind is set up out in the field.
Right.
That particular evening. But, yeah, I understand the canopy thing. Matter of fact, that first morning out, I'll tell you this real quick. Normally, I mean, and I had already been out to my stand a couple weeks prior just to check things out, make sure the trail was still accessible and all that kind of stuff. You know how you do. I should have done it much earlier, but I just didn't say it. Anyway.
Right, anyway.
I normally don't use a flashlight in or out of the woods.
Right.
can find my, no matter where my tree stands at, I can find it in the dark.
Right.
I was so agitated out, I swear to God.
Couldn't find it.
I guess it was because of how dark the woods was with the canopy.
Yeah.
Not only could I not find it, with out of trash. I couldn't find it with the flashlight. I'm thinking, where the hell is my tree?
I get it. Yep.
But I got some bad news for Chuck, the previous caller.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be calling my name out, so I just want to pass that along to Chuck.
I can only call one. So that's
all right.
Good luck to everybody out there.
Thank you, Al.
All right, thanks, Rich. Appreciate the call. Good luck today for you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. All right, there he goes. Oh, man, hold on. I need some coffee. Oh, I need another one. Good stuff. I think that's Donut House this morning. I'm not sure. So, let's get back to the hunter conservationist paradox. Now, this is written again by Brian Yablonsky from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Though many Floridians and though many Marylanders will plug that in, may be unfamiliar with hunting, it is a critical component of wildlife conservation in the Sunshine State. In Florida, nearly 250,000 people hunt each year, and their numbers are growing. Even more consider themselves hunters but do not hunt. From 2006 to 2012, the number of hunters increased 2.5% in Florida as more women, men, young people, and those interested in eating locally sourced organic meat swelled their ranks. And it is these hunter conservationists who are underwriting and supporting politically a large part of wildlife conservation in Florida and the nation. Enjoying wildlife and its habitat is free to all. But the programs involving habitat conservation are not. Florida hunters specifically pay for managing wildlife through the license and permits they buy. For instance, all adult waterfowl hunters purchased a federal duck stamp. It's a program the hunters helped create in the 1930s. Considered one of the best conservation tools ever, 98% of the duck stamp's purchase price goes to acquire and protect wetland habitat, not just in Florida, but throughout North America for migratory birds and other wildlife. Hikers, paddlers, campers, and all who love wildlife benefit from the millions in conservation dollars generated by hunting. So, too, hunters were some of the first conservation activists. Not only Theodore Roosevelt, but Aldo Leopold, Ding Darling, and George Bird Grinnell, all hunters, went on to respectively to form the Boone and Crockett Club, the Wilderness Society, the National Wildlife Federation, and the Audubon Society. Now let me stop right there. Ding Darling. Ding Darling was an artist. Ding Darling designed the very first duck stamp back in the 1930s, 1932, I believe, something like that. Ding Darling's duck stamp, the block that was used to print that, you know, they used to have wooden blocks with plates on them that printed those federal duck stamps. I held that in my hand. That is still in the possession of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and I'm not going to tell you where, but I told the fellow that was with me, fake a heart attack, and I'll run the other way with this. But that was a piece of history right there in my hot little hand that not a lot of people get to experience. I know the drawer it's in, I know the building it's in, and I know the town it's in. And there's the printing block that printed the very first federal duck stamp print in my hot little hand. I couldn't believe it. It was absolutely amazing to me. But that was a high point of my tour of that facility. So, all those were hunters. The National Wildlife Federation Audubon Society. Today, in the tradition of Theodore Roosevelt, many sportsmen and women contribute their time and their money and effort to conservation organizations. These organizations are dedicated to on-the-ground projects and advocacy that benefits wildlife. Now, I'd like to quibble with this guy a little bit right there, including purchasing lands for a wide array of species beyond animals that are hunted. As Teddy Roosevelt said, in a civilized and cultivated country, wild animals only continue to exist at all when preserved by sportsmen. Okay? Now, let me back this guy up just a bit here. He mentions a number of conservation organizations by name. And I'm not trying to throw cold water on this guy's story. He names all the big ones, all the ABC conservation organizations. And he said they are dedicated to on-the-ground projects and advocacy that benefits wildlife. To some degree, that is true. But when it comes to political advocacy to benefit hunters, here in Maryland, these organizations, although active and have tremendous fundraising capabilities, look the other way when it comes to support their own hunters here in the state of Maryland. For the most part. I can tell you that I can go to a conservation banquet and I can watch tens of thousands of dollars being raised, and a tiny portion of it remains here in Maryland to benefit the organization, and the rest of it goes to the national headquarters. That's the way their system's set up, so be it. I can't argue with that. But when I talk to you folks about what we do here in Maryland through the Maryland Hunting Coalition, we are not a conservation-oriented organization, although we do in our bylaws set up to advance wildlife conservation through scientific. How do we put it in our bylaws? We believe that wildlife conservation here in Maryland, wildlife management, should be based on scientific evidence and not through politics. That's kind of how we put it. But we work for Maryland. We work for Maryland hunters. We work in Annapolis with the Wildlife and Heritage Service, with the General Assembly, to pass laws or reject laws that either favor or do not favor hunters. And that's what the Maryland Hunting Coalition does. We're not a per se ABC conservation organization, but we are a grassroots organization dedicated to advancing the needs of hunters and helping hunters in the field, even though we work in Annapolis. And both of us all of us that are involved in the coalition, all of our board members, all of our advisors are members of local organizations like the Maryland Bow Hunters Society, like the Maryland Fur Trappers, like the Maryland, you name it. And we are all hunters, and we are all dedicated to to understanding that, you know, everything that happens to us is either regulated in Annapolis or legislated in Annapolis, and that's where we do our work. We don't have any on-the-ground conservation projects. We are looking out for the benefits of hunters. So, more on that in a bit. Hunters are also our wildlife thermometers in the woods and fields. As essential partners in wildlife management, they spend a great deal of time outdoors, providing the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission important information on what is happening in the most remote parts of the state. Hunters report on the conditions of wildlife and habitat, game law violations, and other threats to wildlife conservation, helping the agency protect and conserve the state's natural resources. Okay, we're going to take a break right there. I'll come back and finish this after the break. Let me tell you about the Maryland Fishing Challenge if you're headed out today. Maryland Fishing Challenge is a year-round tournament. It starts the day after Labor Day every year, runs till the following year, Labor Day, and we're in the 2016 cycle of that right now. It's hosted by the Maryland DNR Fisheries Service, and it's for every recreational angler in Maryland, man, women, and child. Eligible fish include all the game fish in Maryland, almost 70 species. Whether they live in the Atlantic or in the Bay or any of the freshwater lakes, ponds, or streams, there are about 70. And each of those venues has its own category: freshwater, Chesapeake Bay and tidal, Atlantic coast, even catch and release, and even invasive species. There's also a youth division connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. You catch a fish of a notable specified size and receive your official angler an award certificate and an invitation to the grand finale in September, where you could win a great prize or cash, up to and including a boat, motor, and trailer. Lots of tackle and cash. And did I mention they give away cash? Well, the fish are biting right now all across the state of Maryland, all the way from Deep Creek Lake. I talked to one of the biologists up there when I was there the other day, in the Potomac River and the Susquehanna River and the Eastern Shore, in the Chesapeake Bay and the trout streams. You name it, fish are biting there, even in the deep Atlantic waters off Ocean City. Now is not the time to stay indoors. Go fish. Those official rules are online at dnr2.maryland.gov/fisheries. Go check it out.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linux at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linux Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linux Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linux Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linux Extra with Kevlar and Paint Max. You know what? Bay Linux and Catonsville Linux now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linux Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linux, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus Junior Hunt Days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor, fill out the entry card, that's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. Ahoo, werewolves of London. Ahoo.
If I felt more like it, I would do that wolf call, but I don't plan on it. So, all right. Let's talk to Sid. All he wants to do is get out of here. Good morning, Sid. How are you?
Okay, for an old man.
I hear you. What's up?
I used to do a lot of hunting. I'm too old now, but I'm a Louisiana Cajun. And,
yeah.
I just called to get on your contest.
You're in it.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much for calling. Have a good day. There he goes. All right. So I was reading this this letter, The Hunter Conservationist, written by, and I'm almost done, Brian Yablonski, who's the chairman of the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Finally, hunting is the first and original organic and natural grocery store offering locally grown and harvested protein from the land. Think of it as nature's Whole Foods. Health-conscious families value living off the land and the meat from game birds and deer, which carries no preservatives, antibiotics, or growth hormones. As society becomes more removed from the source of our food, hunting connects us directly to what we eat and the life and death cycles of animals. In the spring of 1903, President Roosevelt made a cross-country trip to Yosemite to sit around a campfire with John Muir, a famous naturalist and founder of the Sierra Club. Many historians believe this meeting inspired the president's aggressive approach to protecting American landscapes and wildlife treasures for future generations. John Muir was a critic of hunting. It is said that he and T.R. had spirited debates on the subject, but their common love for the natural world moved them beyond these differences to become the original architects of America's conservation legacy. We're so fortunate that John Muir recognized and accepted the hunter-conservationist paradox so profoundly personified by Theodore Roosevelt. Today's conservation community, both hunters and environmentalists alike, can learn a lot from the great examples set by these two great men. We all need to be more willing to share a campfire with those who think differently about wildlife conservation, focusing on our common ground so future generations can enjoy a rich wildlife legacy. So there you go, the hunter-conservationist paradox, and we appreciate that. We're coming nearly to the end of the first hour, and we'd like to just say thank you for listening this morning and allowing me to throw my comments in there about the Maryland Hunting Coalition. We are working on a couple of projects right now that, as I've teased you before, we cannot quite get out there yet because the legislation itself has not been crafted or dropped, and we can't promote it just yet. But when we do, I will be full-throated letting you know what's going on and how you can help. Now, you can still support the Maryland Hunting Coalition. Today and tomorrow, the last 2 days of our Deer Hunters Raffle, which is online. Go to mdhuntingcoalition.org and click on the Deer Hunters Raffle. There's a 25-06 high-powered rifle made by Marlin. It's got a camo stock and a 3-9 power scope on it. There's a Savage 220 slug gun that's available on the raffle, and there's also a nice Martin Krypton bow there. You can read all about it on the website. You can purchase your tickets right there. The tickets are $10 a piece, 3 for 20, 7 for 50. Everybody that's purchased has received their stubs, or at least they're in the mail. I'll drop those in the mail as soon as I get your notice online. And, the drawing is November 1st. That's tomorrow. So you got today and tomorrow till midnight to look at that and sign up and get a nice raffle ticket to help us out. All right, folks, that's it for the first hour. See you after the break.